today's message? Okay, let's try the shortened version. What's the shortened version of the sermon? Ruach the tongue. Just so I can make sure I'm not just preaching to myself today. How many of y'all out there will testify that your tongue has gotten you into trouble? All right. Couple of us. Praise God. Those of us who are married as men, sometimes we don't have to be in the house more than 15 minutes before we done said something some kind of way that got us in trouble. Hallelujah. Thank God for forgiving wives. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, challenge us to see how we can ruach with our tongues and move us from where we are to where we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to do an interactive sermon this morning where I need to have your input. Yes, no, maybe, somehow, somewhere. I'm going to give you a couple of schemes and you tell me what we ought to do about it. Your teacher has embarrassed you in front of the class. You are really, really upset. She is saying one more thing. You just remembered that her son was arrested last month for drugs. And inside, you want to yell out, "At least I ain't a drug dealer!" Should you say? Your friends are talking about a co-worker that they all admire. And they think that this co-worker would make a very good supervisor. But you want to be the supervisor. And they're talking about how great this person is. You knew this person 10 years ago. You remember when this person had been arrested for rape of two girls, but the charges were suddenly dropped. Should you say anything about that in this conversation or not? Some of y'all wavering depending on how bad y'all want the job. There you are in church. Volunteered to help out in a ministry. Things are going really well. You find out that there's a person you're working with. You're married or she's married, but you're not married to each other. Find out y'all work very, very well together. And even though you didn't intend for anything to happen, all of a sudden you got feelings for this person. And you know they cannot go anywhere. You think you're in love with this person. Should you say anything to her or not? Ladies and gentlemen, we got a split decision in the house. You went to a church convention out of state. Had a very nice hotel room. Had a good time. When you got ready to leave, you were going out into the hall and you looked and you thought you saw Reverend Davis coming out of a room with another very attractive young lady. And when you heard him say something, you knew it was Reverend Davis. Reverend Davis don't have the faintest idea of who you are. When you get home, somebody says, "How was the convention? Anything exciting happen there?" Reverend Davis, come to your mind. Should you say anything or not? It is obvious, before I go any further, we got more gospelers on this side of the church than we do on that side of the church. Now, in each one of these situations, if you choose to say something, somebody's future is going to be altered. Somebody is going to be hurt. Somebody is going to experience something. Now, each time we have communion, I tell you, Scripture says we are to examine our hearts before we partake of communion, lest, the Scripture says, we become sick and ill or even die because worthy heart. And so often, we like to think of sin in categories. These are the big sins. These are the sins that you ought not to do. These are the sins that, well, everybody does this, so it can't really be that bad. But my friends, if we are going to rise up and choose Christ, we need to recognize God has one category, and He calls it sin. In Proverbs this morning, our reading, it said, there are six things that God hates. Seven that are absolutely detestable to Him. The six were prideful eyes, a lying tongue, murderers, hearts that plan evil, feet that are quick to rush and do something wrong, a false witness who spread lies, and a person that gets a bunch of mess going that tears up people's relationships and friendships. Now, out of the seven things that God says are hateful to Him, three of them have to do with us opening our mouths. The first one here is just outright lying. The second one is lying under oath. How many of you ever said, I swear I'm telling the truth, and you knew you was lying before you got it out good? And the third is getting rumors and gossip going so that people start mistrusting each other. Now, in the first two, we don't have any excuse. We know we intentionally being dishonest. That third one, we kind of waver a little bit with. We try to justify gossip by saying, well, honey, I'm telling you. I'm just telling you that God knows truth. Or if we want to get real spiritual, we say, you guys, come here. There's something about Frank we need to pray about. Frank want to hear what we got to say. We as Christians are called to speak the truth, but we're called to speak the truth in love. And we need to ask, before I say this, is this loving? If somebody said the exact same thing about you, would you consider it loving? No. Now the scriptures speak of the tongue, how it is one of the smallest parts of the body, but it is a major troublemaker. Yes. How many of you have gotten in more trouble because of your tongue than because of your leg, arm, elbow, behind, all put together? The thing about the tongue is, when it gets you in trouble, all the rest of the body suffer with it. Any of you ever got a black eye because of your tongue? Any of you ever got to not go somewhere because of your tongue? Didn't get to play in a game because of your tongue? Any of you got a free week's vacation permanently because of your tongue on the job? If you said, I want it, you want a summer vacation? Let the tongue know. It can get you a summer vacation. The tongue has destroyed many marriages and relationships, and is continuing to do so. That same tongue that said, baby, I love you, will turn around and say words of disrespect, pain, and agony. You see, if somebody comes and punches you real hard in the stomach, how many of you know that hurt? But after 30 minutes, you don't feel it in the stomach anymore. You might feel it up here in the head. But let somebody hit you real hard with the tongue. How many of you can still remember that pain from 15 years ago when so-and-so said such and such about you? And you can get just as mad right now as you did when it very first time it happened. Now, the Bible says there are at least seven ways for us to sin with our tongue. Now, you probably got them all seven on your outline. So get your little pen and pencil, and each time I hit you, you just circle. This is one I need to work on. Now, when we get to the seventh one, I don't want anybody to jump up and say, yeah, I had them all. You miss the point if you do that. All right, the first way the Bible says we can sin with our tongue is with lying. Lying is not telling the truth or being deceitful by hiding the truth. Some of us know how to tell half truths. Where were you? I was down by Aunt Mary's house. Indicating you went to Aunt Mary's. But you know good and well, as soon as you got near Aunt Mary, you turned and went somewhere else. You didn't have any business going. All right? So you can not say it and be lying with how you said it. Now, we usually don't think that much of it when we do it, but Revelation 21:8 says, all liars will take their place in the fiery lake of burning sulfur when they die. In that chapter, God brings lying right up there with murdering and sexual sinning. If you look at the Ten Commandments, you will find lying on the list. So why do we take it so casually? Doesn't it really hurt inside when somebody you love and you trust, you find out they've just been lying to you time and time again? You just want to, in the name of Jesus, of course. Lying breeds mistrust and anger. It is the gateway to a number of sins. The Bible encourages us to speak truthfully to each other. A lie may get us out of a jam in a minute, but that same lie will come back and show up on us a little bit later. Now, many Christians struggle with lying when it comes to covering our tracks when sin is involved. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord and how spiritual you can be, when you find yourself in trouble, you are going to be tempted to lie if you can get away with it. Okay, so don't think you so spiritual that these gossips on this side might do that, but y'all won't. David was a man after God's own heart, but when he got caught, before he got caught, he tried to cover it up by lying. But it cost him the death of three of his sons and thousands of his soldiers. We are encouraged to confess our sins and deal with the consequences now rather than having to wait for the consequences to force us to be truthful later. Now, the second way the tongue gets us into trouble is through slander. Slandering is saying something bad about another person. I just can't stand her. He think he all that and he ain't nothing. He's nothing but a thief, a liar, and a good-for-nothing bum. All them people in the church ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. They didn't do this for me when I was down and out. Well, I really don't know him that well, but if you ask my opinion, I wouldn't trust him with a 10-foot pole. Slander is something that finds its way in us and it looks for a way out. I shared with the first service that when I was in Georgia, this preacher, other preacher and I, we were together and we're talking, and he used to give me, we'd share praise and worship music, and he said, have you heard this guy's latest praise and worship album? Man, I was just blessed by looking at it. Well, I happen to have known that this guy who did this, he had left his wife for another woman in the church and was still pastoring the church. And he's going on about how great this CD is. And I was just so tempted to say, but did you know that he did such and such and such and such? And I tell you, I had to God. Let him go on and be blessed. But that thing comes up in us. Slander is whenever you have spoken to somebody else, and when you get through speaking to them, they've got a lower opinion of whoever you were talking about. Chances are you're guilty of some slander. And the Bible tells us, whoever spreads slander is a fool. You see, sometimes we slander a person because we don't like that person. We hate that person. We hate that particular group. And any chance we got a chance to say something bad about them, we are ready to say it. But we as Christians say, but all I was doing was just telling the truth. The Bible tells us to have hatred in our hearts lead to murder. Slander allows us to kill people off with our words. Does that sound like rising up and choosing Christ with your tongue? No. Third way the tongue gets us in trouble is through gossiping, this group over here. I know y'all over there do too. Gossiping is being willing to spread news that may or may not be true. But it puts a person in a negative light. You leave things to the hearer's imagination and do very little to correct the situation. I don't know what he was doing down there, but I saw him parked at the motel. Could have been making reservations for his family reunion. But you already got some mess going. I don't know what he was doing down there at the Justice Center. There was three policemen standing right by him. He might have been making a report. Proverbs tells us that a gossiper will do at least four things. A gossiper will tell you things that make you want to hear more. And child, let me tell you what he did next. And then he did, and he did what? And then, and once you get a good gospel going, man, they start lying. And you still take it. You go on right along with them. The Bible says gossip is like good food. You start eating the give it some water. You're putting evil in your heart. So evil is going to come out. And let me ask you this. How many of y'all know some real good gossip? You know some real good gossip. Now, how many of them come to you and start talking to you? Now, wait a minute. You know, in order for gossip to take place, you gotta have two people. If I turned off my microphone and went up here and went over to that corner and started talking about Mike and none of y'all heard me, am I gossiping? No, because nobody heard. So the only way a person can be a gossip is if you choose not to ruach and you check out, tell me some more. This is what I'm talking about. Second thing a gossiper will do is betray your confidence. Now, child, I'm not supposed to tell anybody this. So I want you to promise me you're not going to tell anybody what I'm about to say. And the only reason you want them to promise they're not going to tell anybody what you said is because you got five other people you want to tell before they do. There is something about having something that, oh, you just want to get that thing out of you, man. Whoa. God has said, be quiet. Whoa. You just want to get it out. That's why you are better off not putting it in there in the first place. Realize that you cannot just tell anybody your problems. you? Praise God, that doesn't happen with at least two of y'all. Fourth thing a gossiper will do, a gossiper will get a bunch of mess going and keep it going long after the thing has been resolved. You got two people, they have finally made up. Here come the gospel. Child, I know you made up, but you don't know. Last Tuesday, he said something else about you. Didn't you? And he didn't even say he was sorry for that. Okay, if we got to rise up and choose Christ with our tongue, when they first start, before it gets good and juicy, because once it gets good and juicy, you ain't going to control yourself. Before they start, you just say, I got a ruach. You got a what? I got a ruach. You got a what? I got to rise up and choose Christ. I don't need to hear this. You know what? You do that about three or four times, they'll quit coming to you. But you know why they keep coming to us? Because we want them to come. Next thing we know, don't nobody even tell me nothing no more. Praise God, they ain't telling you anything anymore. The fourth way our tongue gets us into trouble is through mocking or making fun of other people. We laugh at their weaknesses. We laugh at their misfortunes. We laugh at their condition. Now, if I was walking across here and I got caught my foot into this thing and tripped, bumped my head over here and fell down, half of y'all would say, oh my God, I hope he's all right. The other half, you'd go crazy laughing at my misfortune. And then after I'm down for 20 minutes and don't move and I'm dead, now all of a sudden y'all, well, it wasn't that funny after all. And I tell y'all right now, if there's such a thing as a hate coming back to hate you, I'd show up in your room every night, falling again and again and again. But for your sake, there are no hates, so I won't be back. But the Bible tells us when we mock other people, we are showing contempt for God. Okay, young people, I told y'all what to do with a baby if you want to play with a baby. I'm not going to say anything else to that group. Know where you ought to be. You know what you ought to do. Keep on going here, Pastor Rick, before you get off track. Okay. The Bible says that when we mock people because they're poor, we mock people because of the way they look, we are showing contempt for God. We're saying, God, you sure did a sorry job with this person. The book of Proverbs says, mockers have a penalty waiting for them. You see, we be talking about how happy we going to be to get to heaven. A whole lot of us going to have a whole lot of mess to straighten out before we start shouting and dancing. And about that big old crown of gold we have, that thing going to shrink down to about a half an ounce. Fifth way our tongue gets us into trouble is through harsh and reckless words. We say things that may or may not be true. And we say them with the intention of causing pain and heartache to the other person. And we can be most cruel to those whom we are closest to because we know what their faults and weaknesses are. Somebody says something that we don't like, and we got a perfect comeback for them to just cut them into pieces. And before we get it out, we ought to ask the question, am I about to ruach with my tongue? See, that what we might say in a moment of anger may betray how we really feel about another person. This is one of my favorite lines of teenagers. Oh, I hate you and I wish you were dead. You might feel like that now, But you're not going to feel like that when you need some money to go to the prom. It's going to be amazing how quickly those feelings change. And young people, I want you to realize this. There is a thing coming called 18. Those of you who say, I can't wait to get out of this house. I'm sick and tired of this place. There was a song a long time ago that was written about this guy who, every time he got upset with his I guess it must have been his girlfriend, he would pack his bags to leave. And every time she would stop him. But this one time, he packed his bag and he kept singing about how he was looking for a sign. She wouldn't give me no sign, is what he said. She wouldn't give me no sign. Nothing that could make me change my mind. I sure would like to start this thing over, all over again. And then the song goes on about how cold it was out there that night when he didn't have nowhere to go. So when you reach 18 and you say, I'm sick and tired of living here, you just go out that door. Just keep on walking. And if you're in Cleveland, be smart enough to try doing it in June or July. Don't you get mad in January. It is cold. Some of us, we say things in that moment of anger. You know, I see in marriages, some of y'all be saying stuff you never should say. If you really want that person in there, you should not be saying, I don't see why you're sticking around here in the first place. You ought to just leave. You know, I wish I had never married you in the first place. Them words, it's hard to undo that damage. I should have listened to my mom and married Bob. We don't know Bob in the penitentiary. We can say all kinds of things that we ain't got no business saying. Because when the words are out there, they out there. And you can't pull them things back in. Just because you feel something inside does not mean you have to say you feel this inside. You want a good relationship? Learn how to keep your mouth shut when you're upset and angry. That is one of the keys. No, you didn't. Because if they had a baseball bat saying, just say one more thing. You'd be surprised how quiet you'd get. You'd be surprised just how quiet you can be. Six ways the tongue gets us into trouble. It's through filthy, unclean words and profanity. Yes. Telling dirty jokes. Using filthy language. How many of you know when God called you, He did not call you to be a part of the kingdom with the kind of language that used to be used? We are commanded to let no unwholesome or unclean words come out of our mouth. God says we are going to give an account for every idle word we speak. I mean, you know, you can tell people off without using profanity. You ever listen to, well, sometimes you don't have any choice. Listen to some people who start cursing people out. Their sentences make no sense. They throw adjectives, adverbs, nouns, all into one mush. And it's like, what are you saying? And then they get stuck. And every other word is the same previous word that they had already used. Using profanity is a lack of intelligence. You're just not smart enough to express yourself clearly, so you just throw whatever it is that's out there and hope something might get you somewhere. It's also a lack of understanding the Word of God. Jesus got upset. We all going to get upset. But there is a way to handle it. The seventh way in which the tongue gets us into trouble is through flattery and flirting. Flattery is telling people things to build them up so that we can use them to our advantage. Kids try it all the time. Oh, you're the best dad in the whole world. You know, in 5 minutes, $20 leave in your pocket. You know they are up to something. You just know. Flirting is when we tell people stuff that we don't have the right to tell them because of the position that we have. And that's in the beginning. Some of y'all had a problem with that. You see, if you are married and you're speaking to someone who is married, you have no right to tell that person, you know, I always had a crush on you ever since I came to this church. You ain't got no business saying, if I had met you before I met my husband, whoa. You don't have any business saying anything like that because of the position you are in. Because the moment you do that, you alter the nature of the relationship. And let me just give y'all this as a sign. Sometimes we be having a bigger head than we ought to be having about how people done fell over head and heels in love with us. They ain't gave us the time of the day. When they smiled at you, we were singing, "Smile, God loves you." Destroyed through what began as innocent flattery or flirting. If you want to say somebody look nice, just say, "You look nice today." You don't have to say, "Child, that dress sure fit you in all the right places." Just a simple, "You look nice," and keep on moving. Look like Denzel in that suit. Man, oh, I always liked the way Denzel looked. Just say, "You look nice," and move on. All right. Now, that same tongue which has the power to ruin lives can also heal lives. It can also be used in a very constructive manner. Scripture says nothing is more refreshing than when you get a good word at the right time. You ever been real, real low and somebody just came along and encouraged you at that moment and it just turned you all around? Proverbs 25:25 tells us like cold water is to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Hearing the right words can bring a lot of joy to our souls. A little encouragement goes a mighty long ways. You know, it is so cheap to use the tongue, but it can do so much positive good. It can build a strong family relationship. You know, when was the last time we said something positive about those whom we live with in front of somebody else? You see, it's one thing for you to see something that I did and say, "Oh, he did a good job." It's another thing for you to tell me, "You did a good job." It's a whole nother level when I'm around a group of people and you come up and tell me, "You know, when you did such and such, you did a good job." When was the last time you told your parents, "You've really been doing a good job as a parent"? When was the last time you told your kid, I'm really proud of the way you are doing such and such. How much does it cost to do that? Not a dime. Now, I know some of us, we got to stretch and we got to strain to find something. But there is something. Son, the police didn't get you today. Don't you know that's something to be proud of? Yes. Yes. How many of y'all, every time before you get up the table, from the table, you thank whoever cooked that meal? How many of you make sure that you say, thank you for this meal? Or you... And you gone. How many of y'all thank the people who wash the dishes? You do, because you wash them, huh? You look in the mirror. Mike, thank you for washing those dishes. Did a fine job there, Mike. Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay. How many of you make sure you try to say at least one nice thing to your spouse today? Okay, again, how much trouble is this?
Hallelujah. Now,
it's a way of thinking. The tongue has the power to put a bad situation at ease. If somebody comes yelling and screaming, who done did it? Now, if you jump up there, don't you come in and yell at me like, da-da-da-da-da. What does that encourage them to do? They get louder. And then you get louder. Now, if somebody comes yelling and screaming at you and you say, Judges, what exactly are you talking about? They may still be yelling and screaming, but they come down and don't say. And then what happens? Before you know it, they done came back down. You know, my daughter Samantha, she learned that with me a long time ago. No matter how much I gave her, Samantha, why did you do so and so? No, Dad, I'm not sure why exactly. And it was hard for me to say, no, I wanted to be. But you gotta look like a fool when you go. I understand exactly what you're saying. Try it. You'd be surprised. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Just because the other person is up here don't mean you need to go up there. A soft answer turns away wrath.
Hallelujah.
We ought to be using our tongues to build one another up. Build one another up as a church. You know, if you're in a church and somebody say, what do you think of your church? If the first thing you coming out of your mouth is something negative, you need to leave that church. You need to leave that church. Go find somewhere where you can be happy. I don't care what somebody asks us about Glenville. We have never once said, Glenville? Child, let me tell you about that church. We always got something good to say about y'all. Nobody has ever heard us put y'all down as a congregation. Now, if I'm talking to y'all, I may say, you know, some real problems we got. But that's just when I'm talking to you. And you ought to be able to do the same with me. You ought to be able to say, now, Pastor Rick, I see you got this weakness and that weakness and that weakness. I'll listen to you. I might agree. I might disagree with you. But now, if you go into somebody else's church and they say, well, what about your pastor? Let me tell you about Pastor Rick. I've been carrying this list around for 3 weeks, wait. You need to go get you another pastor. Just that simple. I want us to be one happy family.